Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. And we just ask now that as we continue worshiping you through the study of your word, that you would grow us and mature us. Lord, challenge us this morning to be about your purpose for our life. We submit ourselves to you this morning, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Individually, you know exactly what we need. We've come to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, let's turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 7. So last Sunday we were looking at the conversion of Saul, and we of course know him as Paul. And this week what we want to look at is that something very unique happened. It doesn't happen all the time. In fact, it happens sort of rarely, but it does happen on occasion. And that is that the conversion of somebody to salvation, the conversion where somebody has turned from atheism or from some other religion to Jesus the Christ, the only way to have a relationship and reconciliation with God. And so we have this conversion that takes place and must take place in all believers. All true believers must be born again, your conversion. But then occasionally what happens is you are converted and there's an immediate call. It's rare, but it does happen in Scripture where the moment that you have been converted to Jesus Christ, at that moment, he speaks to your heart and puts a calling on your life, and you know it. And Paul is one of the few people that we see that clearly at his conversion also had the call. And I think it's fascinating to look at Paul's preparation. Most of Paul's preparation was pre-Christ. God was preparing him for the ministry he was going to have before he was even saved, before his conversion. But you know what? God knows the past, the present, and the future. He knows who's going to accept him long before you do. He knew it before you were even in your mother's womb. So the scripture tells us now, here in Acts chapter 9, in verse 7, it says, the men who journeyed with Saul, they had stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He saw no one because he had been blinded. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight. He neither ate nor drank. His mind was completely blown because he had a clear understanding of who he believed that Jesus was. And he did not see Jesus as the Christ. He did not see him as the Messiah. He saw him as a radical renegade, rebellious against God, rebellious against Judaism, rebellious against the religious establishment in Jerusalem. That's the way that Saul saw Jesus. And so he felt that he was within the parameters of his faith to persecute anyone who was promoting that Jesus was anything else but a rebel. And so as Jesus Christ has a personal encounter with him, that appointment that was scheduled before his birth, they come together, and now Saul has seen the Jesus of Nazareth resurrected from the dead in his glory with the Father in heaven. This is a wild thing for him. And now all those things that he studied all of his life about the coming of the Messiah, the promise to Abraham that all of the nations of the whole world will be blessed through the lineage, the seed of Abraham. All of those things now, all of it is coming to fruition in a moment in the heart and in the mind of Saul, because God had prepared him for that very moment. And I want to encourage you in this. The things that God has called you to in your life, he's been working with you most likely for years, prepping you. You didn't even know it. You didn't even come to Jesus Christ yet, but he had been working things in your life, giving you tools for the trade of ministering one to the other throughout your whole life. And then all of a sudden, you become a Christian. You become saved, born again. And then you have new realizations, and God starts to do miraculous things within your life. And sometimes it takes years. The promise to Joseph was as a boy, someday all of your family, even your mother and father, they're going to bow down before you. That was a crazy thing to tell a young kid. with some big brothers that didn't like that idea. And yet God made the call when he was young, when he had no idea what that really meant. And when he shared it with his brothers, of course, they were furious about it. You got to be kidding me. We'll never bow down to you. But that was God's call. And in Joseph's life, it took many, many years to prep him for the actual calling that God had on his life. So sometimes we, upon our conversion, get the call immediately for what God wants us to do. That is unique. Usually it comes along the way of walking with the Lord and serving within the body, and then a specific call happens. We're going to look at the call of God this morning. So in this case, Saul now, mind completely blown. Everything that he had trusted in is now gone. Now he's put his trust fully and only in Jesus, the risen Christ. Verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus. His name was Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here am I, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Now, this is interesting. He's in Damascus, and he's hearing about Saul. His reputation preceded him. He was famous for what he was doing to the Christian church. And God is going to use that fame to lead a lot of people to salvation. So the scripture says that in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So we have the conversion of Saul, and here we have the calling. He has been called by God. God has set him apart. And this man of God is looking at Saul in the flesh, but God sees the heart. And God had a plan for Saul all along, and now he shares what the calling is of Saul, and he would become Paul. And so we see again a unique and very distinct situation where he's converted, and immediately the call becomes very clear. But in Scripture, there are many observable callings of children of God within the Bible. The most prominent is the call to salvation, of course, where we're called by the gospel message to receive Jesus the Christ as our Messiah, as our Savior. The only way to be reconciled to God, and every true believer has had that call. That call is the only universal call in the Bible. It's universal. It's for Muslims, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, atheists, agnostics, whatever bend you want to jump into, that is a universal call to everyone to come to know the love of God through the finished work of Jesus the Christ upon the cross. So that's the first calling. It's universal. Then there is another calling that is only universal to the church, meaning that all Christians have a calling from God. That is called, it's the general calling of ministry. It's not the calling to the ministry, it's the calling to ministry. And those are two different animals. So we're going to look at these two types of callings. We want to look at the call to ministry, which is universal amongst the church. That means that every one of you this morning is going to be challenged about a particular position that you are in, because you are the called. The called to what? You're the called to ministry, to love one another as Christ has loved us in practical ways. That's part of the deal. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're to emulate him. And we see how Jesus met the needs of those around him in every way
in every facet that you can name, all the way unto eternal life. So we want to look at these. So first of all, we see that every Christian, according to Scripture, is called to the general ministry of the saints. Every Christian, no matter who you are or what your background is, whatever it is that you do, you could be a teacher, a construction worker, a business owner, an athlete, you could be a nurse, you could be a store clerk, maybe you're a dog groomer. Whatever it is that you do, you have been called to serve the body of Christ for the glory of Jesus Christ. So if you're mature in your faith, if you understand the position that you are in Christ, that we are in Christ, then you must recognize that you have a title according to the Scripture. You are called the called. The called to what? Are you meeting the general call to the general ministry of the body of Christ? Are you truly concerned about the needs of the people sitting next to you here? Are you concerned enough to really get to know one another? Well, we're going to go down through the Scriptures, and it will be challenging to you this morning. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 gives us our first clue this morning as to the general call to the church for the general ministry of your church family. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, and this is speaking to the church, to believers, speaking the truth in love, that the church, that we may grow up in all things, and to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So let's stop with that for a minute. That it is God's design that we are joined and knit together. There's not to be fragments of the church where we go off on our own for the purpose of, you know, converting, you know, our way of worshiping God into something that's not God's design. We have to follow the design of God to be blessed by God. For he is the one that designed worship. And the way God designed worship was for Christians to congregate together in a church family, become a family, and get to know one another's needs and then be about that business. Our main purpose on this earth is to reflect the nature of Christ, number one, to each other. Have you ever really taken the time to look at what's on back of your bulletins? You ever done that? Got your bulletins in your hands? Don't even have a bulletin. You got to have a bulletin. Otherwise, I got to talk to Glenn. Look on the back of your bulletin, the very back, the back page. At Calvary Chapel, we're following the biblical mandate that first of all, our number one goal here is upreach. That is to encourage you as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship God, to turn your hearts toward God, to be connected with God himself. My job is to put your hand into his hand, not to supplant or get in the way or be a mediator, but simply make sure that your hand is nice and tightly held by the hand of God. Number two, when we have accomplished upreach, you have that personal intimate relationship with Jesus, then we have inreach. It's right there in your bulletin. Inreach. We then turn our hearts to the people that come here, our church family. Our goal is to make sure that your needs are met. Not just in the spiritual sense, well, here's the word of God, now be fed and be warm and get out of here. But what are your true needs? Your spiritual needs and your practical physical needs. Your door's not working right on the front of your house. Let's get somebody from our body that has that skill that God called here to serve. And send them over there and get it taken care of. Are you hungry this week? Do you need food? Well, let's make sure you're taken care of. Your electric bill's not paid. You've got children. Come on. We're going to help you because we are a church family. I want you to notice this now. This is the biblical version of a network. Listen to what it says. Joined and knit together. And what knits us together? By what every joint supplies. That we recognize we have a general call to the general ministry of the body of Christ. So that's part of the Christian experience. And if you have unplugged from your fellowship, if you unplug from your church family, if you unplug from the body that God has called you to and blessed you in, then what you do is you negate part of your purpose as a believer. Everybody following that? Now, he goes on to say this. We're joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which, notice this, every part does what? Really? Are you excited about that?
Yeah.
When you say that, every part does its share. Let me hear you say that. Every part
does its share.
Wow. You see, this is not a suggestion. What's happening here is we're seeing a very clear picture of God's design for the body of Christ. Now, I will tell you, I've been in ministry for 40 years. And I have been a youth pastor. I've been the worship leader. I've been on the board of churches. I've been the assistant pastor. I've been the head guy to clean the church, clean the toilets, clean up when people get ill. I've been in every aspect of ministry in the 40 years I've been in ministry. When I started with Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque, there were 16 people. And I began there playing drums. And it was me and Skip. That was it. That was the band for Calvary Albuquerque. Me on drums, Skip on guitar. So I've been a part of the church since I was 12. But I will tell you that throughout the years of doing different ministries, there's been certain ministries that I'm like, well, you know, this isn't my calling, but it is part of the general calling to the general ministry of the body of Christ. So what I'm called upon to do something, I want to explain this to you. When I'm called upon to do something, I don't first check to see, you know, and have the register, the meter go, favorite thing to do? I hate this. Because you see, as a Christ, as a Christian, let me say this. I told the Lord, anything, anytime, anywhere for you. You own my wallet. You own my clock. You own my calendar. You own my mind. You own my skills. You gave them to me. And I give them all back to you. Therefore, when I'm called upon, it's never going to be with me an indictment. It's never going to be an indictment of my unwillingness to serve the Lord. And so for a lot of Christians, I want to explain this to you. When you are called upon by God to serve, it is either one of two things, and that will all depend upon your spiritual maturity and your disposition towards your position in Christ. You are the called. So it should never freak you out to get the call. You're the called. That makes you one that is lined up with the purposes of God. And if you're the called, according to God's purposes, that means that it's God's purpose to call you. And occasionally God calls you. And when the phone rings, don't say, hey, don't answer that. Now listen, I've heard it over the years. In many churches that I've been a part of throughout my life, I've heard people whining and complaining and saying, oh, you know, well, I can do that, but I didn't come to this church to do that. What'd you come to church to do? Did you come to serve one another? Did you come to stir up love and good works towards one another? Or what? Just get fed so we can be spiritual couch potatoes? So I told you, it's going to be challenging this morning. But consider this. Ask yourself this. When a call comes and there's a need within the body, how do you look at it? Is it an invitation or is it an indictment of where you're at? When I call somebody in this fellowship, because somebody is in need, you know what I never expect to hear? No. I don't ever expect that. When you are in the martial arts, for instance, and you're training for a belt, your next belt, your next degree, you're trained, and then when the training is complete and the instructor knows that you can pass the test, then you're tested. The test is never to say, gee, I don't know if he's ready. The test is simply to verify that you're ready. A black belt or whatever belt doesn't become that at the moment of the trial. They're already that. Now they're just allowing you to display your skill. When the call comes for you, whatever it might be. It all it is an opportunity to display your maturity in your faith in Christ. Are you actually an available, humble, and usable tool in the hand of God? And that is what makes the differentiation between a call that becomes an indictment or an offense and an invitation. That's the difference, your disposition. So I would encourage you, position yourself for what God has called you to. Now, let's go a little further. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And I've quoted this scripture to you, but now let's take a look at it. And by the way, as you were reading a moment ago, so what is the result if every part doesn't share within the body of Christ according to the scripture? The church grows. The church grows. Who doesn't want to be in the midst of people that love them and serve them? And who doesn't want to reciprocate when somebody does something wonderful for you? If you have the love of God in your heart, you're going to want to reciprocate to that. Look at Hebrews 10:24. The Bible says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." How can you consider me if you don't fellowship with me? How can you consider your church family if you don't have a church family? How can you meet this? This scripture is to all believers, but how can you meet it if you're not going to church? It's God's design to be in a church family. And any parachurch ministry should never negate the coming together as God has called us to. Never. Other ministries, home fellowships, whatever it may be, can never negate the coming together to the congregation that God has placed you in, because you're a part of that. And I will tell you this as well. If God called you to a particular body, you're part of a puzzle. And that church is a puzzle. And every piece, it has a particular jig to it. And your jig piece doesn't fit anywhere else on that puzzle. And if you've ever been a puzzle maker, and you tried to put pieces that don't go there, and right, it's frustrating, isn't it? Because it just doesn't go. Your piece, where it fits in the big scheme of things, God purposes and plan for your life, you will not fit anywhere else except for in that particular jig that God designed for you. And you can try to take that jig piece and put it somewhere else. But if that is not where God has called you, you will never fit there. You will never be comfortable where you are. Now, we meet together for, number one, the purpose of worshiping God, upreach. But secondly, we meet together, according to the scripture, just as importantly, to meet the needs of one another. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but see, a lot of times we come together and say, well, I want to stir up love. I love you. Let's go across the aisle and hug each other. But wait a minute, they're having a problem. Kind of duck and weave and go that way. That's the one that's got the problems going on. They might ask me for something. So that may not be you, but it may be you. Maybe you part of the time. But the scripture says the good works go together with the love. So if it's really a church of love, then we're a church of servanthood. That is the mark of a vibrant church. You may think the mark of a vibrant church is a great worship team. Maybe it's this exciting, charismatic pastor. Maybe it's that we've got ministries throughout town. Listen, according to Scripture, they will know that you are mine by the love that you have for each other. It's in reach. The way we treat each other tells the entire community about the vibrance of the love of Christ in this body. And it calls people to come to be a part of that. So the Scripture says, let us consider one another in order to stir up two things, love between each other and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And this is not in reference to home fellowships or Bible study groups across town. This is talking about coming together with your church family in a congregational setting, being a part of the church family that God has called you to, that as a unit, we can then impact the entire community that we're a part of. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We congregate together to get to know what are the needs of one another. And God's given each one of us a very unique set of skills and desires and gifts. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? Wow, I mean, if we didn't have that before us and I gave you a little, sent out a piece of paper to all of you, I want to do a survey. What did Christ Jesus save you for? I wonder if on the top of the list would be worshiping God and serving in the body of Christ. I wonder if you'd get there, like right off the bat. Or how many things you might put in there prior to this fact. We were created for the purpose of working. Isn't that interesting? The first man, Adam, God gave him a chore. He wasn't supposed to just kick his feet up in the garden. He said, tend the garden. Tend my creation. We were never meant to be lazy or couch potatoes, but simply look at what the scripture says. It's to you and me this morning. We are to work. It says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which is very fascinating. God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're supposed to be walking. That means living, dwelling. That means every day you wake up and you go, Lord, what can I do for you today? You're plugged into your fellowship. At the CalvaryTaos.com website, we have the prayer wall. And I always remind you, we have the prayer wall. Go online. Get off of Twitter. Get off of Google. Get off of Facebook. And go to CalvaryTaos.com and look at the prayer requests of your brothers and sisters in your church family and pray for them. Be about the things of God today. In your everyday life, practical works throughout the day. Find out what's going on in the body of Christ that you're a part of, your church family. And what can you do to love them even more? What can you do in practical ways to meet the needs of those around you? Everybody has needs. Everybody has needs. And I've found that among men, we can be stubborn and prideful and don't want to take anything. When Katrina hit, I went down and took a trailer. I was pastoring Calvary Chapel, Nashville, and we took a trailer and some guys. We went down to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and it had just devastated it. There was a 20-foot storm surge that hit there, and it was unbelievable what had happened. And so we had loaded this trailer with all types of non-perishable food items, and I learned very quickly when I got down there, they didn't have underwear, socks. They didn't have toothbrushes, toothpaste. They had no water. They had no batteries. They had no flashlights. A 20-foot body of water went through their neighborhoods. Cars upside down, sewage up on this, all different crazy things. And we learned what they didn't have was simply practical things. They didn't have a toothbrush. So we went back. We loaded this trailer up. And we did it about 6 or 7 times before we left. And I'm going to tell you something interesting about 4 weeks before Katrina hit, we had a $500,000 offering in one Sunday. And we got it. And we're like, wow, look at all the things we can do. And then all of a sudden, I was in the kitchen. My wife was in the living room, and we were watching this. I had a little TV in the kitchen. She was in the living room, and I was cutting up something for a stew. And they were showing the things of Katrina. And all of a sudden, God just broke my heart. I said, oh, that's what that money was for. I thought it was for us. Oh, no. And I actually called my board, and I had one guy on the board who said, look, man, you know, they're going to get taken. There's pastors down there. And I said, do you think that the pastor's house didn't get washed away too? You think the church somehow didn't get washed away too? And I went down there. I'm going to tell you an interesting thing. In Ocean Springs, went down there with this crew, and we worked for about a week and a half. I didn't see anybody else, no one else there ministering to those people, no one else. And then somewhere along the line, we caught a van pulling a little trailer on a side street somewhere. And we were out of our vehicle working, but I saw a van go by. And I thought, wow, there's somebody else here. And it took maybe 2 or 3 more days, and we bumped into each other. And it was a Calvary Chapel from Southern California. So God prepares good works beforehand for you to do, and he just puts you in the position. So you have to, if we recognize who we are in Christ, that we're simply a utensil, a tool in the hand of God to bring glory to God by serving the body of Christ. And then people that aren't in the church, they see the way that you are served, the way you serve one another, whether you love one another. And then the explanation for those practical things that you're doing is you love Jesus. They're like, who's this Jesus? I want to know more about him. That's the design for the church. And if you have a lazy church, this is not an indictment on this church. This is our church really exceeds oftentimes any expectations people can have. I've been so blessed to pastor this church and to see how you work with one another, how you do have a heart for one another. But this is a challenge for all of us to go even deeper, to grow more, to mature more, and to never become complacent. And that is the danger of church, especially churches that have been around a long time. It's complacency. Complacency. Let's never become complacent. Let's always be on fire for the things of God. He said we were created for his workmanship, in his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. And then he has a last little thing. And did you notice? This is a command. We were created for good works that he prepared beforehand, and now a command that we should what?
Walk in them.
That we should walk in them. So I just asked you this morning, just take your own spiritual survey for yourself. No, if you're not doing anything in Christ, stand up. I'm kidding. Just a thought. Take your own spiritual survey. That's what the Word of God is. It's a challenge to us to look at ourselves through the eyes of God. How does he see us? He said, I called you to do good works towards one another. I prepared them for you beforehand. All you have to do is just walk. You don't have to create them. I'm even going to present them to you. You come to your family in Christ, to your church family, with a heart of stirring up love. You're going to find out. If you'll do that part, come and stir up love, you're going to find out what the good works are that I called you to. So I encourage you, don't come to church to just sit in the pew and to be fed. Come to church as a complete believer. Come to worship God. Through the worship of God, through singing praises and honor and glory to God, because he's worthy of it. And then continue to worship through the study of the Word of God. And then manifest all of those things in serving one another with a humble and loving heart, never begrudgingly. Because if you offer up something to God with a begrudging spirit, he's not going to bless it anyway. That's why I say, if you're wanting to give finances or something to the church, you want to put something in the agape box, listen, if that's bothering you, keep your money in your pocket, please. Because God isn't going to bless it anyway. Don't give because somebody has coerced you into giving. I mean, I'm just saying whatever it is. And that goes beyond that point. It goes to the way that you do work for others. Somebody calls and says, oh my gosh, yep, my window is stuck in the bedroom. We can't get it open. Could you come and help us? Oh man, I had a lot of things to do. You turn to your wife, oh honey, I got to go over to their house. You can go ahead and go. But God is not going to bless you because it matters to God not only what you do, but how you do it according to Scripture. God wants us to reflect his nature in how we do what we do. And then don't do it that you might be glorified and let everybody know what you did. Then you're stealing God's thunder. Look what the Scripture says. Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. Now, though there is a calling on all believers to serve the body of Christ, we also see in Scripture that God may be calling upon any one of us at any time specific individuals to specific tasks. And this is oftentimes when God will use the skill or the training or the knowledge that you have to do a specific thing that needs to be done within the body. So if you're the carpenter, you're going to get called on most likely within the body to do some type of carpentry. Maybe you're a painter. Maybe you cook wonderful meals. You'll be called upon to serve in those things. And that's the way God designed it. You see, I believe when people are immature in their faith and don't know the Word of God, don't understand the design of the church, then they can be like offended when the call comes in. Oh my gosh, you just called me last week. Yeah, I know, but we got more people. We got more stuff going on. Listen, I remember in Nashville, somebody came to me and they said, John, we have such a wonderful body of believers. Everybody's so mature and this church is so great. And I said, no, 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 no. The church is a mass unit. God is great. Amen. It's not a great church. It's a great God who's blessing our body.
That's right.
So that's the thing is like, the church is a mass unit. And you're all sitting this morning and you know full well in your lives, there are little things going on. Some big things. There may be things that are tearing your heart out this morning. That may be distracting you in every way. Things that you don't have answers for that are just like you don't have a way to solve. That's the truth of the church. We need God 100%. And then we need to act when God calls us into action. We need to act because we were created for that purpose. And in fulfilling the purpose God has called you to offends you, there's a problem with your relationship with God. Not with the church, not with the person that called you, but between you and God. Don't let anybody push you this way or that way away from what you know to be true according to the Word of God and the Spirit of God in you. Now, in this example, God designed a tabernacle. Building this tabernacle for the worship of Him that He could be in the presence of His people. Not physically, because God cannot be contained within walls made with hands. But they were going to get a portion, a sense of God, the Spirit of God, there in their very presence. He would be present with them, unlike any other nation in the world, just the nation of Israel. So now God has a task, and He's going to call upon His children to do the task. That's what God does. In Exodus 31, verse 1, notice this. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. So first of all, God says, I got this chore. We're going to build this tabernacle. And now Moses understands that. But who's going to do it? Who's going to do the work? You say, God's planted a church in Taos. But who's going to do the work? He says, I want a work in Taos. I was just at a men's gathering last night in Berlin. I taught on Saturday, yesterday in Berlin, to the Calvary Chapel Regional Men's Retreat. And it was just interesting to see where God has placed particular people. And when we were discussing later on, all the pastors got together. We were talking about where we pastor and everything. And it was interesting because I did not know this. But all those pastors, they all have churches here in New Mexico, and they all recognize Taos as the most liberal town in the United States of America. They're like, that's the most liberal place for sure in New Mexico. It's some hard ground up there. We have every cult and every false religion in this town. So what does that tell you? I love me and George were talking this morning. What did George say? Well, that means that God has a purpose for the church here. Right? So we've been planted here, but for what? To stir up love and good works towards one another. In reach. And listen, when the church is meeting our needs within the body, that makes outreach the natural flow. It can't be held within the walls. Our love for one another, our love for Christ, the message of the coming of the Son of God to demonstrate His love by dying on the cross, we overflow with that and go out into the community. That's a vibrant church. Now, again, God calls specific individuals at oftentimes, and it's not always. It's like if God calls you to build something or paint something or whatever it might be, it's not that He's calling you to make an occupation out of it. It's just that moment. And He may call you again in an hour. But that's up to God. The Bible says here, the Lord told Moses, I got a task. And first of all, I called Bezalel. And you know what? I picked him out. There's a lot of people to draw from. But I picked Bezalel and I called him by name. And He says, and I have filled him. Verse 3, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. I called him and I have empowered him to do what I called him to do. I have empowered him in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. I talked to a pastor yesterday. He's assistant pastor in Silver City. They just got a $2.5 million offering a few weeks ago in their offering. $2.5 million. God can do that in our heart, because whenever he calls somebody to something where God guides, he provides. They have a Christian school there and they needed a gymnasium for the kids. Boom, done. God took care of it. The guy said that God put it on his heart to take care of that before he took care of anything for himself. And then about 3 weeks later, it came out he had cancer. It's interesting how things work, how God works. But listen what it says. He filled Bezalel with the Spirit. He called him to a specific task, gave him the power to do it, and then he gave him the specific skills, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all manner of workmanship, just what he would need. And here's the scope of the job: to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed with him Oholiab. So he calls a guy to the ministry to build this particular project, the tabernacle. So he's called to work within the ministry, within the body of believers, the children of God. He gives them the power to do it. He gives them the scope of the project, and then he brings somebody alongside of him. And we see that all through Scripture. When God calls somebody, usually he brings somebody alongside to work with him. So now he's got a partner in the work. And it says here, I appointed Oholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you: the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. Woo, wait a minute. We just built all the furniture in the tabernacle. Aren't we done yet? And it says, wait, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. Oh, are we done yet? Verse 10, the garments of the ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his son, because there's something, wait a minute, you know, I have no part in this because I just do stitching. I just sew clothes. I can't make a beautiful laver. Can't make a beautiful taper. Wait a minute, he goes further. You know, the garments of the ministry, the holy garments from Aaron and the priest and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded they shall do. So let's run through that real quick. Number one, this is an example of the calling to a specific individual for a specific task. He calls Bezalel by name. And there are times as a pastor of this church where God speaks one of your names into my heart. There's something that comes up and I'm like, okay, somebody lets me know of a need. And I just sit for a moment, just pray, Lord, I don't know which way to go with this. Boom. And somebody will come right into my mind. And I have no problem in picking up the phone and giving them a call, because I believe that we have mature believers at Calvary Taos, and I should be able to call anybody in this room at any given time. And they'll understand that the call's not from their pastor. It's an invitation from God to use the gifts and skills that God has given you. Whether it's your gifts, your skills, your time, your finances, your ability to help others within this body of Christ. God will always outdo you. You cannot outgive God. Amen. So if you think for 1 minute, well, wait a minute, I've done this. Well, really? God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for you. Amen. And serve us in every way. We're served in every way today, and you know it. Every good thing that's going to happen to you today by the hand of God. His love, his grace, his mercy. It's continual. It wasn't just once. It's all the time God is with us, providing all things for us. Number two, we see that he called and then he equipped. Because, as Pastor Chuck used to say, where God guides, he what? He provides. If God's going to guide you into it, don't freak out and say, I can't do that because I don't have one of these. Wait a minute. If God called you, he'll provide it. The mission, fivefold mission: design artistic works, work in gold, silver, and bronze, cutting jewels, wood carving, and to work skillfully, to create skillfully in all manner of workmanship. Then he gives the assistant. God gives Bezalel, Oholiab, God's gifts, all of the artisans involved. So he's got the guy that he's called to kind of be the foreman over the project. That's Bezalel. Then he gave Bezalel an assistant, and you looked at the list of the giant job that was to create all the things to have a tabernacle. But God also gives the power to everyone working in the process. He has a foreman, he has an assistant, and then he has an entire work crew. And all of those people, God gifted every artisan involved in the project. And I would say this, God does not need to rely upon your skills and your giftings, because God can enhance whatever you have. So if you're doing it for the Lord, doing it for the Lord, I believe, and I've seen it throughout my 40 years in ministry, God will give you and enhance your creativity. He will enhance your ability, and He will give you new ideas and creative ideas. When God calls you, He will do it with you. He'll be with you and bless you in every way. You cannot outgive God. Amen. Now, Erwin Lutzer explained this. You guys know Erwin Lutzer? One of my favorite authors and preachers, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. He said this, God's call is an inner conviction given by the Holy Spirit and confirmed by the Word of God and the body of Christ. Though the idea is not popular today, I believe God still calls individuals to specific ministries, particularly to preaching and teaching His Word. Now, I'm going to end with my favorite scripture in all of the Bible. Turn to John 15:5. Jesus said this, John 15:5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. So now we see we're in partnership with Jesus. He's the vine, we're the branches. I'm the vine, you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him does something very unique. What do they do? Then what is the demonstration that you're abiding in Christ? What is it? Wow, come on now. You excited about that? I mean, really? Bearing much fruit. Listen, if you're not bearing any fruit, you might go, I don't know what he's talking about. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm the vine. You're the branch. All you got to do is hang into me. Abide in me. Just hang in with me. Let me supply you with the power, the gifting, the tools, the people around you. Let me be the vine. You'll be the branch, and I'll give you everything. All you have to do is hang in. Now, what happens when a piece of beautiful fruit falls off of the vine or the branch? What happens? They shrivel up, and they no longer are going to be able to serve their purpose. All you have to do is hang in with Jesus Christ. Stay connected. Have an intimate relationship with Him. Start in your morning. Read the Word of God. Pray to God. Ask God, you know, what can I use in my arsenal that you've given me for your glory today? Whatever it is, give it back to God. Hang in there with Him. And then He says this, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do anything. You can't do anything for Christ unless you are in Him and you're doing it for His glory and His purposes and you've been empowered by Him. Because His design is, He calls you to it. And then He tells you what He wants you to do. He gives you the strength to do it, the capacity to do it, the skills to do it, and then gives you the people to work with you to do it. That's His design for your life. Now, you might have been the person called to the very task. Maybe you're the foreman that's been called. Maybe you're the head baker for the event or whatever it is. But then He will bring others around you to work with you to accomplish whatever that purpose is. And remember this, you can do nothing without me, Jesus said. So everything that we do, everything that we're about has to be basked and bathed in the power of Jesus Christ in our life. This church is a vibrant church, and it will be even more vibrant, more powerful in the community where God has called us if we will simply abide in Christ. Be about God's purpose for us. I want to give you one last scripture because I got 3 minutes before communion. Can we do it? I think we can do it. Look at Romans 8:28. I'm sure most of you have memorized this. Maybe you have it on your refrigerator or maybe it's hanging from your rearview mirror in your cars. Romans 8:28. I'm going to give you the proper emphasis on this verse, and then we're going to give praise and honor to God through communion. Romans 8:28. And we know that, and you know, again, let's take the whole verse in its context, because we love the first half. We know that all things work for good to those who love God. Is that you? Hello? Is that you?
Yes.
Do you love God?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, the first half is definitely to you. God is always working these wonderful things toward those. He's working good together for those who love God. But there's a second half to that verse. And my question to you this morning as we come to a close, do you say yes and amen to the second half of the verse? Listen to what it says. To those who love God, to those who are who?
Called.
Oh, say it again.
Called.
The called. Are you the called? Because you said you were by saying you are agreeing with the first half of the verse. So if the first half of the verse is true in your life, the second half of the verse has to be true as well. If you believe that God is working all things together for good to those who love God.
Amen.
Say it, Lauren.
And are called according to His purpose.
Yeah, you're the called. The called. Leave this place today as the called according to His purpose. And again, I tell you, if you are the called according to God's purpose, and it's God's purpose to call you. So be ready. Have a predisposition towards when God gives you an opportunity to serve. Have a predisposition towards it to say yes and amen. Lord, whatever you need, whenever you need it, whatever you need. Whatever I can do, whenever. And I will also end with this. It is rare that the call comes in to you to serve the Lord when it is convenient. It isn't convenient. Rarely. I got other things going on. I've had people tell me that, well, wait a minute now. Getting involved with that plumbing job or that, you know, that's for people that have nothing better to do. And I would ask you this. What is better to do than the work of the Lord?
Amen.
And the work of the Lord is not simply telling people about Jesus, but it's living Jesus in our lives. A living testimony to God. That's true ministry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word this morning. We want to be pleasing in your sight. Authentic Christians, genuine in the faith, that can be counted upon, that there can be true expectations upon. Following your biblical mandates and excited, Lord, to do the things that you prepared beforehand for us to walk in. Lord, ignite us. Fill us with a burning desire to fulfill your word in us, your calling in us, the general call to help one another, love one another as you have loved us. Let us be a church of action. Let us stir up love to our brothers and sisters and children in this fellowship. And let us take that love beyond the walls of this building. You've placed us all throughout this town. Lord, you put us in every business around here, in the schools and in the stores and restaurants. We're everywhere in this town. Help us to be about your purpose for our life. We are the called, and we submit ourselves to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. We're going to...